Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, where the beard and the hair, well, they're here to, you can ask them anything. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. Earlier this year, when we got back from NADA, we were awarded the Driving Sales Dealer Satisfaction Award for top-rated websites for an unprecedented sixth year in a row. We also took home the AWA Award for Best Websites for a third time. Plus, FCA announced that we're now an approved vendor. Big things are happening over here at Dealer On. We're still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Do you want to know more? Yeah, you do. You can check us out at DealerOn.com. Also, Dealer On is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention. We've got the best booth around, so make sure you stop by booth 305. We're going to have all kinds of prizes and surprises there. And to top it all off, we'll even toss in a copy of the new book we wrote on local SEO. And while you're getting your Digital Dealer On, please check out the speaking sessions from The Beard and the Hair, Greg Gifford and Sean Raines. Remember, it's booth 305. I'm going to be there, and I hope to see you there. We have a great show in store for you today. We are very pleased to have both Greg Gifford and Sean Raines as our presenters today. Greg Gifford, the Beard, is the Director of Search and Social at Dealer On. He's got over 15 years of online marketing and web design experience and has specialized in automotive SEO for the last 5-plus years, helping hundreds of auto dealers thrive while the industry has struggled during the recession. Greg speaks internationally at both automotive and SEO conferences, teaching thousands of small business owners and marketers how to get their sites to show up higher in local search rankings. He's an international SEO speaker and currently serves as a member of the board of directors of the DFWSEM, an organization dedicated to promoting search engine marketing through best practices. He graduated from Southern Methodist University with a BA in cinema and communications, and he has an obscure movie quote for just about any situation. And Greg can be reached at ggifford@dealeron.com. Joining Greg today is Sean Raines, the Hair. He's the Vice President of Business Development at Dealer On. A true internet car guy, his automotive internet career began in 1998 with the Reynolds & Reynolds team that launched Microsoft's CarPoint.com, Cars Direct Connect, Yahoo Autos, AutoMark websites, and Reynolds Web Solutions. His unique blend of humor and automotive experience has made Raines a sought-after speaker at industry events, including NADA, NCM, Digital Dealer, and various 20 groups. Sean is a highly respected member of the automotive community, and he can be reached at sean@dealeron.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. And don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at AutoHook are sponsoring this week's webinar giveaway. AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver, and they've built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks that customer through the lead, showroom visit, and purchase, and delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card from AutoHook. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned. And you know, who knows, you could be the one walking away with this awesome prize today. And for more information about AutoHook, please visit driveautohook.com. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey, so please fill it out because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience. We want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use #DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Greg Gifford at Greg Gifford and Sean Raines at, you guessed it, Sean Raines. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. All right, everyone, let's get started. Let's ask the beard and the hair anything you want. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm all right. Basically, with the office move.
And Sean, how are you doing, sir?
Also good. Not as busy with the office move, but.
Well, I'm glad you guys made it. And from what I understand, you moved the day of the hurricane? That can't be right.
Well, we're like 5 hours away from the coast. Like, the hurricane didn't even do anything to us. So.
Well, I'm glad for that. Yes.
We feel even worse because we're here in Texas, and we know a lot of people down there along the coast, Corpus Christi and Houston, a lot of dealers down there. But Dallas has really been completely unaffected. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys are safe. I know I texted you to make sure you guys were okay. I'm not really – never been to Texas, so I didn't know how close or how big that storm was. It sounded awful. And like I said earlier, the pictures and the videos that have been coming out have just been incredible. And I'm glad you guys are safe. And I'm glad the move into the new office was really very well accomplished. So thank you for that. Now, today, you guys are going to be talking to us about anything related to SEO and SEM and anything else anyone else can throw at you. So if you're ready, we'll just get started into questions. Or do you have, like, some updates you have for people? What do you want to do?
Let's just roll with it.
Okay. Now, lucky for us, we did get a few questions that came in earlier, and that came in, you know, during the registration. So we'll throw out some of those right now. If you don't mind, I'll have the first one come out to Let's do the first one to Joey was the first one who sent in a question. I believe this one goes to Sean. You ready, Sean?
I'm ready.
Okay. Sean says, have you worked with or seen the new AdWords interface, and what are your thoughts?
Yes and yes. So the new AdWords interface actually started in probably early part of this year. So Google, they whitelist a lot of things after they've tested it with partial audiences. Now the new AdWords interface, which looks like Google's entire suite of stuff, so for people that don't know what I'm talking about, the AdWords interface for a long time didn't get the kind of facelift to make it look like even analytics or anything within all of Google's suite of products, Drive, Docs, anything. Now it does, and it also has come out with a bunch of really cool feature functionality. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer, and Joey, I'm guessing you're asking that question because you spend a lot of time in AdWords, then you're probably excited about maybe some of the same things that I've been seeing. You can do a lot of new things. There's also a lot of simplification. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer or interested in jumping into the AdWords interface now, the mobile app is really, really effective. I have that on my phone, so I can go in and look at campaigns and see high-level stats. But it's fantastic, and I don't know if you have any other specific questions about some of my favorite features, but Greg and I just shot a couple of Wednesday workshop videos coming up that speak about some of those things, some new additions to site links, and the landing pages functionality is one of the new things within the AdWords interface that I love, because you can actually do real landing page testing and see what's going on with your landing pages now, which is cool. So there's a bunch of stuff there, but yes, have seen it, yes, working with it, and a big fan of it.
Thank you so much. Joey, thank you so much for the question. If you have more questions, I know you're on the show right now, send those questions in. As for you, live audience, send those questions in. We're looking forward to getting to all of those within this next hour. All right, next question just came in. This one's from Bruce. Bruce says, any updates to Google's three-pack rumors? What are the main things we need to do to rank in the three-pack? Greg?
What rumors is he referring to?
Can I have no idea. Bruce, you heard rumors?
If you want to show up in the three-pack, you just have to be close to the person doing the search. More than anything else, proximity of the business address to the person doing the search, whether it's their desktop or their mobile phone, is pretty much the most important factor. Now, all of the other stuff matters. You need to have your Google My Business claimed. You got to have a local phone number listed there. You've got to have all of the normal local SEO signals on your site and good content and good links. But really, the proximity of location trumps anything else. So if you're wanting to show up in the three-pack and you're way out in the suburbs and somebody's downtown searching, it's just not going to happen anymore.
Okay, great. Now, Greg, don't be shy. Show the picture of you guys with all your contact information. I believe it's the next slide. There you go. All right. And okay, so Bruce, if you would follow
their Photoshop, huh?
What?
Yeah, just play innocent there. I know you did that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Greg would never.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I did that. Well, okay. So if you audience, I don't know if you picked up on it, but if you do beard and hair, ask me anything, it spells out Bahama. I thought that was awesome, so I tried to make them look like they were Bahama. They promised me they would wear grass skirts and cute little flowered necklaces today, but I got nothing today. All right, next question, Sean. Sean, this one...
Before you ask that one, just a pause on Bruce's question. I think there may be some people in the audience that might be interested. If you are in one of those areas where by proximity you're never going to show up in the three pack, because that is the reality for some dealers, you can, once the map pack is expanded, because right under the three pack it says a few more places, and then you see the entire map pack listing, you now can actually sponsor an ad and it jumps to the top of that page. It's something that you would definitely want to test to find out if you get a lot of conversion from it. But you certainly can hijack the page once it's expanded in the map pack for a sponsored listing, which I think they talked about last year, and it's been rolled out and available now for several months. I've seen it with a lot of dealers in a lot of different markets where they're going in and claiming that spot because they're going into AdWords, basically. You have to have your Google My Business page claimed, but then you can actually buy that top spot, just as an FYI for those
interested.
Interesting.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Okay, Bruce, I don't know if you have... Oh, yeah, paid, he wrote in. Okay, so thank you so much, Bruce. All right, next question. This one came in during the registrations. This one's from Michelle. And, Sean, this is for you. She says, much of my digital ad spend isn't yielding sales. Instead, it's yielding customer calls to service, as in they search for our dealership name and see our dealership paid ad to find our phone number. Is there any way to remedy that so I'm not paying for people to see my ad when all they're really looking for is just our phone number?
Yes. To what extent? It requires some testing. So that is an age-old problem. Has been for probably since almost the existence of paid search for dealers, because there are a lot of people that still use the internet, whether it's on their phone, which is most people, by the way, as a phone book, right? Get the phone number and call, and a lot of those people are service customers. I'm not going to assume anything, but if you're not segmenting service and sales campaigns, that's definitely something that you might want to try. Without being able to see exactly what kind of ads and campaigns that you're running, separate sales and service, how your ad groups are set up, what happens a lot when you start to have that problem is the ad groups are way too big and there are way too many keywords in these ginormous ad groups. And so it becomes really, really difficult to separate the two. But I also have to be very, very candid and honest with you. Even some of the most brilliant setup campaigns, separating them, you're still going to have some of that problem. But it's basically the best thing you can do is through your ad copy is distinguish sales and service and then test to find out which are actually helping you mitigate some of the calls that come through to service. It's still going to happen, but if you're interested, Michelle, that's probably something that our team could probably do an SEM analysis if you have access to your AdWords account. Then that's something that we could actually do and take a look and see what's really going on in there. So feel free to, if you have my email, sean@dealeron.com, or you can tweet me @SeanRaines. I'd be happy to help you with that if you want to get a little more detailed information.
All right, just so the audience knows, what's involved in the SEM audit? What do they need and how would they get one and how much does it cost?
It's completely free. We've been doing it for a long time. Actually, when DealerOn relaunched our digital advertising kind of division that paid search falls under, we decided that we would do free or complimentary audits for anybody that has access to their AdWords account. That's the prerequisite of that, having your access to your AdWords account, is we really can't tell you much through just Google Analytics. Even if your analytics is actually wired up the way that it should be to AdWords, analytics is still only going to give us access to what's actually happening in the campaign. So there's a lot of things that might not be happening based on poor setup. So if we have access or you give us read-only access to your AdWords account, then we can go through. And there's when we started it, there were probably different 20 different areas, criteria that we would look at, from how your campaigns are set up to how your negatives are being managed from a geographic standpoint, from models, how your model research is set up, to mobile preferred ad settings, some of which was remedied with some of the AdWords changes that Google made themselves. But there's a whole bunch of areas, and I want to say that there's still different 15 to 17 different areas that we look at. And then we provide you a nice, you know, it's 3 or 4 pages that you can take that either to your existing vendor, or if you're doing it yourself, and you can take all that insight and take it back to wherever it is that you may want to take some of those best practices and make some refinements to your campaigns. And then, let's just be honest, we do that because there are a lot of people that say, well, can you do it better? And we're looking for the opportunity. So we want to kick the door open, obviously, and say, hey, we're more than happy to help you guys out with that as well. So, yeah, we want to try to get business out of it, but it is completely free, and we don't get mad if you don't do business with us. We'll be more than happy.
I appreciate that. All right, thank you so much, Sean. Let's bring Greg back in here for his turn. Greg, this one came in early as well during registrations. This is from Lisa. Lisa says, please, Greg, tell me, in order of importance, what steps should you do for SEO? For example, H1, title, description, text on pages. And then if you could, please provide some websites that have awesome SEO and why you consider them to have awesome SEO.
I mean, there's different weighted elements. So some pieces count for more than others in the algorithm, but there is no order of importance because you can't just go, oh, I'm going to hit number one and number two because those are the two most important. It's everything all together. So it's not just the elements on your site. It's the elements off your site as well. So, you know, you need to worry about the title tag and the H1 and the content and the keywords in your content and your name, address, phone number information on your site and your location keywords throughout the site and all of the different signals there. And you've also got to worry about how many sites are linking to you, and you have to worry about your citations and your directory listings, and you have to worry about your social interaction signals, and you've got to worry about the user experience on your site and how fast your site loads, and you've got to worry about your reputation management and your review score. So there's a whole lot, and there's not really any, you know, priority of 1, 2, 3. You have to do it all. It's all or nothing, basically. And then as far as sites that have good SEO, yeah, any of the sites that we do SEO for.
Way to be subtle.
I mean, off the top of my head, I wouldn't even know because, I mean, honestly, like, I don't touch any of the client stuff. That's all my team, and just off the top of my head, I don't even...
Right, right. Okay, well, Lisa wrote in, okay, so everything is important? Everything's important.
Everything's important. SEO isn't like, and a lot of dealers get this wrong, a lot of dealers really equate SEO to, I need lots of content on my site, I need blog posts, I need pages on my site, I need landing pages for this, and I need to create a landing page for every city around me so I'll show up in those cities, and it doesn't work that way. It's really the cumulative effect. It's the aggregation of all of these different signals, and a lot of these signals have nothing to do with your website. It's things off of your website, but it's everything all together over time eventually affecting how relevant you appear to Google when people are searching for certain keywords. So it's not like you can say, I'm going to do these couple of things and that's going to be good enough. You really have to do everything constantly all the time and never stop.
I agree. Okay, Greg, thank you so much. You can just step on back and let Sean up here. We got some more questions for him as well. All right, Bruce wrote in another question for you, Sean.
Bruce, stop dominating it, yo. There's a lot of people that want to ask questions.
I'm going in order. Okay, oh, okay. So Bruce says, does DealerOn have any scaled down SEM and website packages for the smaller dealers like independents and small new car franchises that can't afford the large fees for pay-per-click retargeting and website platforms? Is there anything we can do to help Bruce and others like him?
It's a great question, and so from an SEM perspective, paid search is really, really tricky in terms of how are you going to charge for it forever and all time. there's been a very popular methodology of charging a percentage of the ad spend. Even if you're an independent or a small dealer, rural market, and you don't have $10,000 a month to spend in your budget, the $10,000 meaning it goes right into Google or Bing's pocket. We do have small market dealers. The pricing methodology for DealerOn, just so you know, they're the cheapest that we can manage a small budget is $599 a month, flat fee, nothing else included. So for all you competitors out there, now we know. Not a big deal. Because everybody is actually that's competent in this area is probably within a stone's throw of each other in terms of how they charge for great service. So for a smaller market or a smaller budget, when it comes to just paid search, that is a stripped-down version. That means that we're not going to advise you to get into display, even the remarketing side. We're going to try to exhaust the budget you have available in search to get you the lowest, not just cost per click. We're not really fixated on just the upstream metrics. We're really trying to actually drive you a low cost per conversion and a low cost per lead. So we're going to do as much of that as we can with a small budget. And then if that helps you actually sell more vehicles, more service, wherever we're focusing, and you're making more money and you can expand, then we can expand from there. We do have dealers in small markets that end up finding their way into the larger markets that they're close to, and then they actually start to take business away from those areas, and as they start to grow, they can expand their marketing strategy, which is the way it should be done in the first place. But, yeah, you can do for a $5.99 flat fee, you can have us run paid search for you. The SEO side is totally different. There's nothing like that at DealerOn in terms of a small, $5.99 option when it comes to SEO. There's just too many moving parts. Hopefully that's helpful, Bruce.
I'm sure it is. Bruce, certainly if you have a follow-up question, send it on in. We'd love to get to it. All right, where is the beard? We have a SEO question for you from Ken. Ken says, how do you beat AutoTrader with local SEO? First of all, can it be done?
You're never going to beat AutoTrader, and you don't need to worry about beating AutoTrader because here's a crazy tip that AutoTrader's not going to like me to say, but you know what? People don't use AutoTrader the way AutoTrader says people use it. If somebody's looking for a car, they're going to look for something local. They're not going to go to AutoTrader. We've seen this time and time again where dealers are freaking out because AutoTrader ranks number one or number two in their city, but who cares? Because nobody goes to AutoTrader. People are going to go to the dealerships. If I'm looking for an F-150, I'm going to go look at the Ford dealership that's nearby. I'm not going to go look at AutoTrader and look at all the F-150s in the entire country. When people go to AutoTrader, they're typically looking for something at a very specific year, make, model, trim level that they can't find locally, and that's why they're going to Trader to find something that they can't find locally. But just, it's never going to happen. They're massive. It's like somebody that's a small mom and pop store saying, I want to beat Amazon. It's just never going to happen. Don't worry about it. Just kill it at what you do and you'll be fine.
But make sure you're in the game, right? So you definitely want to hire his team so that you're in the game, because otherwise you're just letting those guys take up all those spots, right? You've probably seen Greg's video on SEO math, number of spots available on page one, paid listings, organic listings, map pack. So if you just go to sleep at the wheel at the dealer level, and you let, it's not just AutoTrader, it's cars, it's auto gurus, all of them are really good.
Well, it's the other dealerships in town too.
Absolutely. So just make sure that you don't take what he's saying is not, well, do nothing. It's just don't worry about it. But you definitely still have to be in the fight.
Right. All right. Thank you so much.
Try to make 10 rounds with Mayweather. You can do it. You may not win, but hey.
You can do it. Now, Adam was one of the many people who wrote in. They're like, amen. Oh, my gosh. Somebody actually said it out loud. So thank you so much, Greg, for that answer. All right. Next question. Let's go to this one from Bill. This one came in during registrations as well. Bill says, when choosing a vendor for digital marketing, how do you know how good they are? In other words, what differentiates one digital marketing vendor from another? Are there specific questions or information that we should ask to get from them so that we can make an informed decision? Again, this is from Bill.
How do you know they're good?
Yeah.
You know they're good.
Okay, but actually, is there really, like, questions? Is there, I mean, if you're going in and you want to know how good somebody is, how can you tell how good they are?
A lot of times
they won't just take your money and just throw it out the window.
A lot of times it's kind of a gut feeling sort of thing. If you're getting pitched by somebody and you feel like you're getting pitched, that's probably a bad thing. So if it's some sales guy trying to sell you SEO and they're not actually letting you talk to somebody on the SEO team, or trying to sell you SEM and you can't talk to somebody on the SEM team, that's probably a bad sign. If they're telling you they're going to do your SEO for less than $2,000 or $3,000 a month, I mean, you can't get SEO for $500 a month. You can't get SEO for $800 a month. It's butts and seats doing the work. I mean, same thing with SEM. That's why we have to charge a fee, because there's butts and seats doing that work. It's not automated, at least on our side, on either side of the fence on SEO or SEM. So, you know, if something seems really cheap, there's probably a reason for that. If something seems too good to be true, probably a reason for that. If they start on the, at least on the SEO side, if they're making guarantees on anything, run far away, because there's no way to guarantee anything when it comes to organic stuff in Google. I mean, there's just a lot of ways, but like I said, it really all comes down to kind of a gut feeling. Like, talk to them, just talk to them. And if they're just pitching you and they can't actually answer questions that you have, that's probably a really bad sign.
You definitely want to find out if they're results-oriented and if they actually have a bunch of results that they can show you, and that they'll even let you call the dealers that they use as their case studies. That's also really important, just in terms of accountability. Years and years ago, DealerOn started with their lead guarantee. So that's not so much an organic guarantee of ranking. That is more of a, we've always been really focused on conversion rates for our websites, right? We don't want to chase just, you know, the lipstick shade on the pig as much as we want to have really beautiful websites. We want to make sure that they actually do their job. So that guarantee has always been part of what DealerOn does. But as far as the digital marketing and what questions to ask people, if it's digital advertising stuff you're asking about specifically, when it comes to paid search, when it comes to display, when it comes to YouTube ads, when it comes to Facebook advertising, everything under the digital advertising umbrella, I would ask them to tell you what their average conversion rates are within all of those different digital marketing channels, which ones they recommend with their dealers on average are going to actually return revenue faster than the others. There's a big, any of you guys, if you've seen me on the speaking trail in the last year or so, that's kind of was my last year's, you know, big hot topic, which is dealers are not prioritizing their digital marketing channels. So if you're looking for somebody or you're trying to vet who's better than the other, listen to the ones that are actually telling you specifically with data why one channel is more recommended than the other. Otherwise, you're going to have people that are rolling in selling you $6,000 a month Pandora radio, or overspending on one of the channels that actually returns the least amount in terms of revenue coming back to you. Really, really, really important. And that's, to be honest with you, that's one of those kind of questions where I would love it if you have time to reach out to find out, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? Because if you come to me with that question, and we can have a one-on-one, I'm going to basically ask you a lot of questions about where the pain points are with your dealership and which problems you're trying to solve through digital marketing, because that's really, really important to know. And I would just make sure that if you have somebody that's actually trying to sell you stuff that isn't solving problems that you have, that's probably another red flag.
Okay. By the way, a couple weeks ago on the show, we had somebody who wrote in and said, hey, my SEM vendor won't let us, won't give us access to our analytics or Google Analytics. And so they had asked that particular presenter, what should they do? And that particular presenter said, you should run. You should dump them, run, and find somebody else to do it. So I just, real quick, because we have like 20 questions in the queue, but I mean, you would recommend that as well? I mean, do we let people look at their analytics?
Yeah, we can't. I think you're confusing analytics, or that person was confusing analytics with AdWords. I guess there would be a way to hold somebody's Google Analytics hostage, but man, that would be super shady. So no, we don't do that. But AdWords is unfortunately still pretty commonly withheld by some vendors, that they won't give access to their dealers. we have a policy of, you know, when our you own the data, it's your stuff. If you want to see how every penny is being spent, you can see that. When it gets to giving that to a dealer that doesn't really know AdWords, I mean, I think the first question for me was about the new AdWords interface. I'm guessing that 90% of the people probably even on the call today haven't been into the AdWords interface themselves. So giving that to a dealer that doesn't know what they're doing can be catastrophic if they have admin access to it. So there is that wrinkle within this question, but you can grant your customers read-only access and explain to them why we don't want you to mess anything up. But if they're proficient, if they've gone through AdWords certification, which is, you know, a very low benchmark, but even it's something at least, then you can give them access. So we do grant our dealers that access, and there are some reasons for caution. But I think they're asking that question for the people that don't grant access for one really big reason, and that's because they don't want them to know exactly how their money's being spent or how bad their campaigns are being managed. That's a big reality in automotive. Been going on for years. Epidemic.
Thank you very much, Sean. All right, we have a lot of questions to get to. I'm not lying. We have like 25 questions in the queue. So we're going to have to keep our answers a little shorter. All right, here we go. We got people. Bahama, here we go. Okay, this next question comes in from Dan. Dan says, we had someone from a Google partner reach out to us about updating what our dealerships look like on Google Maps Street View. They also mentioned that they could make an interactive tour of our stores. Does this impact SEO at all? And is it worth doing? It was only about $1,500 a store, but is it worth even that? Again, this comes from Dan.
It depends. Next question.
What?
We're just going to be funny and just say it depends to every question from now on out so we can get through a bunch.
Please don't do that.
Doing the virtual tour inside your dealership, I mean, it can be cool. It's not going to give you any benefit. It's not going to help you show up more. It's not going to do anything. Maybe it lets people see the dealership, and maybe from a user perspective, maybe it might make somebody want to come in, but it's not going to give you any ranking visibility boost or anything like that.
Do we know of any research that shows that this interactive tour would be cool and worth $1,500 a store?
If you want an interactive tour, shoot a video walkthrough and have somebody walking. And like, that's actually the video that we put up this week.
Yeah.
The video we just did yesterday for Wednesday workshop. Like, we don't even have our studio set up, so you can see the green screen and everything. But we talked about the value of, you know, on your homepage or your About Us page, doing a video walkthrough of the dealership. Like, do a quick couple of minute video and have almost like you're doing a walk around of a car. Walk through the dealership, introduce people to the dealership, show people what the dealership looks like. That's infinitely more valuable than having something. People aren't going to sit there and click through a thing and go, oh, let me move forward. Because you're clicking the arrows to move through this 3D view. Whoop-de-frickin'-do. Like, who cares? You're going to click these arrows. You're going to sit there for 5 minutes trying to do that, and then you're going to be like, well, that video or that interactive tour was so awesome, I guess I'm going to buy a car now. Like, it's just not going to work that way. But a video tour of the dealership is something quick and easy that they don't have to sit there and click through, and they can watch, and you can give them all that information and the same thing. That's way more consumable and way more interesting to people. That's the direction I would go if I was owning a dealership.
All right, cool. Thank you so much, Dan, for the cool question. All right, I love this question from Wyatt that came in. He's like, Zabeard and Zahair, what's up, guys? Hello from Chi-Town, Hipsterville, USA. Here's my question. Facebook Pixel, what's that all about? Now, not to be outdone, we also had, I want to say it was... somebody else wrote in about the same thing. Anyway, people want to know about Facebook Pixel. What is it, and should they be worried about it? Is it something that they need to... Oh, here we go. Scott. Scott says, any thoughts on Facebook Pixel? Should we be using it, and does it work as well as advertised? So do you have an opinion on this, Greg, Sean?
I mean, the Facebook Pixel is just what you put on the site to track your visitors from Facebook, unless they're talking about something else. That's what you're putting on there so that you drop that pixel on the site, and that way you're cooking visitors to your site, so then you can come back later and say...
Conversion tracking is what it is.
Well, it's not even necessarily conversion tracking. If you just run the pixel on your site, then you can come back in 2 months and say, I want to run Facebook ads at anybody that was on my website in the last 2 months, or anybody that was on this specific page on my site in the last 2 months. So it allows you to kind of retarget people later on down the road that were specifically on certain areas of your site or your entire site, or it lets you track conversions for when you're running ads or things like that. I mean, if you're going to do Facebook ads, then you should be doing it. Like, yeah. If you're doing Facebook ads and you're not doing it, I don't want to say you're dumb, but you're dumb.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Such tact. This is one of the things we love about you.
You're not using the Pixel. That's just kind of silly because it's like pay-per-click and not tracking your conversions. I mean, you're probably already doing it if you're running Facebook ads. If you're not running Facebook ads, you think you might be, go ahead and drop the Pixel on your site so you can just start gathering that audience data. If you know you're never going to run Facebook ads, and then who cares?
Okay, follow-up question. By the way, thank you, Wyatt and Scott, for that. Follow-up question from Joey on the same topic. He says, do you use the same Pixel for conversion tracking and retargeting?
It's one Pixel, so it's just one Pixel everywhere. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. All right. Let's go back one step to where we were talking about SEM transparency with vendors, because I didn't realize, had a lot of people that commented on it. For instance, Timothy wrote in, any vendors doing that to you, you should run away from them. You should be able to see everything. Keith wrote in, being a Google preferred partner requires transparency, so why don't vendors allow us into AdWords? It is a requirement from Google. And then Amy wrote in, search optics wouldn't even give me access to the Google Analytics reporting for what they were doing. Horrible. So glad I got out of there. Okay, so we all agree we need to run from anyone who keeps that kind of stuff from us, right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Next question comes in from Gary. Gary says, how would you rate the effectiveness of a competitor conquest campaign in a smaller market area? Would the money be better spent on AdWords or other SEM campaigns?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Yep. You're wasting your money at the tier 3 level to do conquest campaigns of almost any type. I'm only speaking from massive amounts of experience. But, I definitely would. If you've got money that you would potentially throw at a conquest campaign, whether you're conquesting another dealer in town or other dealers in town or model-to-model conquest, I would let the manufacturer, or if there's tier 2 dollars being spent in your market, I'd let that budget go after conquest for sure.
Okay, Gary, if you have a follow-up question, we'd love to hear back from you. Okay, Ben has the next question. He says, I have a local SEO question. How much will local reviews continue to affect a business's local SEO? Google allows a lot of dubious reviews and blank reviews, so we're interested in knowing what is coming in the future for Google reviews. This is from Ben.
Well, nobody knows what's coming except Google, but I can tell you that reviews will continue to be a very important part and will always be a very important part. A blank review is not necessarily a dubious review. It's just somebody didn't leave a comment as to why they had a bad experience. So typically the dealers that ask this sort of thing and they're like, well, we get lots of really bad reviews and it's competitors and stuff. If you're consistently getting bad reviews, you know, one or two here or there is somebody had a bad day or you guys dropped the ball on something, but if you're consistently getting bad reviews, you've got a problem at the dealership that you've got to fix. You can't blame it on Google. You can't blame it on competitors. It's in your own backyard. You got to fix it. But reviews will always be a massively important part of local search.
Just so you know, reviews are massively important to consumers as well. I know because I'm a consumer. All right, here we go. Ben, thank you so much for your question. We do appreciate it. All right, next question comes in from Adam. Adam says, so we're opening a new point early next year, and we're planning on a naming convention of dealer name at Hoover and dealer name at Irondale, for instance. Are there any problems or pitfalls that I should be aware of?
As long as you're consistent in the naming of your different dealerships, you're fine. There can be some issues when it's coming to optimization of the individual sites and your location optimization, but as long as you've got somebody that knows local SEO on deck, you'll be fine.
Okay. Adam, let me know if you have a follow-up question, all right? All right, next question comes in from Amy. Amy says, what's your thought on companies and products that are based on year, make, model searches that drive users to VDPs by delivering VIN-specific ads?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I read it exactly as it came through, but I will read it again. Amy says, what is your thought on companies and products that are all based on year, make, model searches that drive users to VDPs by delivering VIN-specific ads?
Well, that's an ad question. I'll let you take that.
I think depending, I have a feeling I know exactly who you're talking about, so I feel cornered. I think with any type of ad, paid ad you're going to do, evaluate what kind of results you're getting. Mm-hmm. And if this service that you're using is actually giving you the cost per vehicle sold you want with this particular option, if it is delivering you a cost per lead that is acceptable to your marketing budget, then I say do it. I'm a big fan of all things internet because you can test it all and you can figure out, you know, what's going on. I would say with companies like the one that you're asking about or ones like that you're asking about, you definitely want to make sure that you're measuring what you're actually getting and what they're really selling in terms of the value, because there are companies that want you to see the value and the number of VDP hits you're getting, right? Which is, I guess, okay, good. So they're going to sell to you potentially on cost per VDP view. And if that is extremely important to you, then hey, home run.
Okay.
You know, for me personally, it's probably beyond that. So if they're driving more VDP views and you're also selling more vehicles because of it, then that's probably a good thing to do. And if not, then it's probably question time.
Okay. All right. Amy, if you have a follow-up question, we'd love to hear from you. And by the way, I legitimately, not until this last minute, did not realize what your shirt said until just now. And it is awesome. And I need to get one.
Well, my own store, Shopify, it's coming out.
Just so everyone, if anyone can't see it, Sean, you're going to have to move closer to the camera. It says, I'm Sean Rains. I do what I want. That's awesome. All right.
From the Rains family.
Next question comes in from Ken. Ken says, who owns the knowledge panel when I search find dealer in my city? I am just outside the city. Can I influence this?
You won't have a knowledge panel for find. No. A, customers aren't going to type in find dealer in my city. B, you're only going to get a knowledge panel when someone is searching a brand search, like the name of a dealership. But if you're just saying Ford dealer in Dallas, you're not going to get a knowledge panel. So the knowledge panel is really when it comes down to specific information that the intent of the query is clearly looking for a specific business.
Okay. Ken, if you have a follow-up question, I am here for you. Speaking of Ken, different Ken wrote in, Sean, it's Ken Worth at Hendrick Automotive. Where is my Hot Wheels car? Getting called out, Sean. Getting called out.
I'll be a digital dealer. I'm doing a bunch of Kia events. Like, just, you know, behind this dude, like, we're on the road all the time, so I got something for you, but you know what? You need to tweet me and let me know if there's a car that you're looking for, because I literally, I'm not kidding, in my home office, I took the shades on my wall, and it's covered in Hot Wheels, all still in the package, and I have some cool freaking cars right now, really cool cars, like a 1972 Bronco.
What? All right, well, just because Ken is, you know, being dissed by Sean not getting his Hot Wheel, I'm going to go down the list and ask Ken's question next. It's all the way down here. Ken says, Sean, any particular recommendation on how to advertise low-view VINs?
Not really, and this has always been my strategy. If you've got a VIN number, a stock number, a vehicle that you just don't get a lot of attention on, usually the best way to get people to see those vehicles is, one, accept the fact that there's a reason why people are not searching for
exactly
them. And then number two, don't don't be afraid to use all of your money makers, all the ones that should be on the marquee, as what brings people in. Because until the metric changes radically of, you know, what people come in on, they don't typically drive away in, there's still such a huge segment of people that don't actually drive away in the car that they were originally interested in the first place. So I say still use your hot models, even in paid advertising campaigns, because they're the ones that actually end up giving you the opportunity to tell the person who either can't get bought on the dialed up Camaro or whatever it is, and then you tell them, hey, but you know, we've got one that's 3 years old, it's a V6, it's still a sweet car, you're going to be more suited to that. That is always been my methodology around that. It's use the money makers to then continue to bring attention to the dealership versus not doing anything at all, because it's tough to get people to fall in love with a Yugo or a Le Car.
What? Yugos aren't hot anymore? Okay. All right, Sean, thank you so much. By the way, Paul, follow-up question says, how big is your collection, Sean?
You know what? I haven't counted my Hot Wheels collection. I have Hot Wheels from when I was a kid, and there are a couple hundred probably from when I was a kid. Some of them were used in accident scenes where I would smash them with a boulder so it looked like there was a terrible accident. That's crazy. And then I have a whole bunch that are in the package. But just so you guys know, I buy them all the time. Anytime I see something that's interesting, because I give them out all of the time. So I constantly have probably 100 at home just sitting there in the package waiting to be given away.
Okay. Interesting. Did not think it was that much. All right. Another follow-up question from Ken. He says, Greg, for a new store, what would be the areas we should be most focused on to increase relevancy and impressions when against a dealership that has far more historical data and presence?
Well, if it's a new store, you've just got to concentrate on doing all of the right local SEO things and making sure you're just absolutely slaying every possible signal that you can slay so that you own your own backyard. Don't try to go after a dealership that's maybe a direct competitor, but in the next city. You have to make sure you own your own backyard first. And, you know, the fact that that other guy's been there for 20 years and you're brand new, you're just going to have to fight against that. And typically you got to realize that a brand new store is probably not going to show up very well in search for at least 6 months, and if you don't have somebody really good doing SEO, probably not going to show up well for at least a year.
Wow. So are you recommending they try and hit SEO as hard as possible and then also do SEM so that they can at least get into the paid search?
Yeah, and that's a lot of the things that we suggest to new dealerships is to initially have a bigger SEM spend to make up for the fact that, you know, with a brand new site, Google's going to sandbox you and you're just not going to show up that well for a while. So maybe you just have to realize, let's just spend a little bit more on SEM on the front end. And as we start to get more visibility in organic, we can kind of pull back off of that spend a bit.
All right. Ken, we wish you the best of luck on that new point. That sounds really fun, though. All right, next question. Let's see, Judson. Ooh, this is interesting. Judson says, we're in the process of picking up 5 new stores. Wow. Most of which have different SEM and SEO providers and methodology. What would be the best way to expeditiously evaluate the current strength of their SEO and SEM? And do you have any best practices that you could share in streamlining this process at a 30,000-foot view?
So best practices for streamlining the process of evaluating multiple SEO and SEM vendors for a new store or for a group of stores that you picked up.
These are tough questions today, huh?
I mean, you could always have someone like us come in and do, you know, he mentioned earlier that the SEM team does the free audits. You could always have some third party that's going to come in and just knock out some audits for you and see, you know, hey, you know, out of these 5 stores, this one store is doing awesome. This vendor's cool. And these other 4 vendors, they suck. They're wasting your money.
We also do an SEO audit, correct?
Yeah, you can do the same thing with SEO and just, you know, SEO best practices. Are they being followed? If they, you know, you're paying for SEO, are they taking care of the things they should be taking care of? On the SEO side, it's a little bit easier, too, because you can come in, and if you've got five stores you're bringing on and you look at the SEO vendors, and there's five different SEO vendors, and three of them are SEO vendors that are charging less than $1,000 a month, you can just go ahead and kick those to the curb because they're not going to be doing anything that's beneficial.
And maybe a question back for Judson. Are all of these stores on the same website provider, or will you be putting them all on the same website provider? That will be also probably an important factor. There are some points of integration, certainly, that we offer to our website customers. I mean, we're both agency to dealers that don't use us for websites, as well as websites for people that don't use us for agency services. But for those that have everything under the dealer on hood, we are able to do things like track to sale through search campaigns. You know, you talked about Facebook Pixel, but how about the ability to track all the way to your post-sale data to find out, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do there. So I'd be interested to find out if you're actually going to use all the same website vendor too.
Well just so you know, by the way, hold on, Judson did write back in. He says, I'm looking forward to reaching out to you guys soon to set up that audit. I definitely need it. And then Judson also wrote in, no, different site providers too. Ugh.
Well, and it would be interesting to know what those five brands are, because if it's, you know, something like FCA, where they've got multiple options for website vendor, digital marketing vendor, and SEO vendor, you know, if it was me and I was a dealership, I would, and I was bringing on five new stores, and I don't know how many stores he already has, but it's a heck of a lot easier to know it. Maybe you don't have the same vendor for your website that you have for your digital marketing or that you have for SEO, but it's a heck of a lot easier to manage the relationship if you're talking about SEO and you have the same SEO vendor for everybody.
Yeah, centralize it.
You know,
yep.
Same thing with SEM. Maybe you've got a different vendor that's doing your SEO from your SEM, but that SEM vendor is the same vendor across all your stores, because it's just way too hard to have different strategies, you know, on either side, you know, playing around with different
right.
things at the store level, and maybe one guy's in one town, another guy's in another town, and they're using different strategies, doing all these things. It's just way easier to know that you've got a vendor that you can trust, that you know is going to give you results, and it's the same vendor for every store.
Okay, so here's what we found out from Judson. He has a very unique situation. He says they currently have 12 stores, so it sounds like they're going to be expanding to 17. And then he followed up with, it's three different vendors, SEM and SEO companies currently.
Yeah, so if your existing 12 stores, if you're kind of centrally managing those with vendors, website providers, SEO, SEM, then I would highly recommend continuing to do that. Anytime you expand, and Greg and I see this stuff all the time when dealers are adding two stores or, you know, 20 stores, and you keep all these different segments, different companies in play, usually what's happening is that the dealer group is trying to figure out how to set up things from a cost savings perspective, and they may be actually stepping over, you know, dollars to pick up dimes, because you might save $100 or $1,000 or whatever, but you miss out on a whole bunch of integration points that actually will make your marketing strategy sell more cars. So you're losing thousands of dollars by trying to save a few hundred on keeping a vendor that you think might be cheap or affordable. So there are a lot of dynamics to this, Judson, and if our audits can help you get prepared and ahead of the curve, reach out. We'll get the teams going on those things and help you out as much as we
can. Or just call us and talk us through, you know, more. And obviously, we don't want to have this whole conversation right now and, like, railroad everybody else, but call us and we could jump on the phone and, you know, explain a little bit more about what you already have with the 12 stores that are in place.
Yep.
And then what's in place with those five new stores. And it might be a question of, oh, well, you guys are already doing this with your 12, so just don't even worry about it. Do it this way. I mean, it could be a very simple answer, or it may likely be very complicated, but, yeah, we'll definitely talk through it if you want to call us.
Okay. Well, Judson says, Sean just nailed it. Love it. Okay, so he's going to be reaching out about that audit. And Lisa followed up with, wait, did you say DealerOn will do a free SEO audit? Yes, we did. By the way, audience, I want you all to know, after this webinar concludes and we send out a survey immediately, it's only three questions. Guess what? One of those questions is, would you like a free SEO audit or a free SEM audit or both? So if you stick around for that, and you can sign up right there to get a free SEM or SEO audit from your friends over at DealerOn, all right?
You ask for an SEO audit, just realized it's going to probably be after Digital Dealer before we get that back to you, because I'm about to go on vacation for a week, and I'm speaking at a conference in the UK, and then I've got Digital Dealer, so it's going to be the end of the month before you get an audit. So we will do it. It's just not going to be something you'll get, like, next week.
Okay. All right. Judson, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. That was a really fascinating discussion we just had. All right. Let's get to some more questions. George wrote in a question. How effective do you guys think VIN-specific ad targeting and retargeting is following someone around with a VDP page for a model they recently checked out and left? This is from George. Pretty good? Not good? Maybe good? Sean?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
same answer that you gave 5 minutes ago.
Well, yeah, kind of. For some, it works well, and I like all things digital marketing. If your goals are increased VDP views, and you're not necessarily holding a service like that accountable for if it's actually then getting you more phone calls or maybe actually more vehicles sold, those are things that I would be concerned about. It's all, for me, every single digital marketing, especially the paid version of advertising, VIN specific, everything's trackable. For me, it's always, what is the bottom line result that we're chasing?
Right.
If it's, we want to get people to those VDPs, great. If we want to get people to click on those VDPs, great. What happens after that? Are we getting conversion after that? Are we getting, and I've talked to dealers that use services like that, that works really well for them. And so if it does, and it's meeting the goal you have for whatever that advertising investment that you're making, if it's hitting that goal, then do it. I would always just say make sure the bullseyes are on the right targets.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for the question, George. So it might work for you, might not. All right. Next question. Oh, this is a long question. Okay. This one comes in from Jeff. Jeff says he has a GMB Ford dealership. One, years ago, a second GMB listing was set up for their quick lane. Same address as the main dealership GMB listing, but with a suite number. I have both GMB listings claimed as owner. Is it a duplicate? Should I mark the quick lane closed? And then he has another question. In his GMB service areas, in dealership's main GMB listing, they have a 30-mile radius set for a service area.
Nope.
Dealer does deliver a lot of parts all over that 30-mile radius. Should I have a service area set up for a dealership or remove it? All right, Greg, can you help Jeff out?
Definitely take the service area off, because service area is meant for like plumbers and electricians and people that do not have a physical business brick and mortar location. You are not a service area business. Just because you have customers that come in from all around, or you might deliver parts to people around, doesn't mean you don't have a physical location for the dealership. So definitely do not put service area radius information in there. You are a physical location to mark that customers come to you to do business with you. So there's that part. The other part is I wouldn't mark it as closed. I would go get with support. So go to Twitter support and tweet to @GoogleMyBiz and just let them know, hey, look, years ago somebody did this. We own both of them. We're owners of both of them, but we don't want this because it's basically a duplicate listing. Can you please delete the listing for the quick lane? And they'll completely get rid of it. So there's a huge difference between having Google delete it and having it marked as closed.
Got it.
But you don't want a separate listing for QuickLane from the dealership.
Okay. Jeff says, thank you so much for the clarification. You guys rock. Ooh, that was a lot of exclamation points. He was very, very excited about that answer. Okay, thank you so much, Jeff. Okay, Paul says, what are some things that dealers should absolutely avoid doing with their SEM? Maybe stuff that didn't work from your experience or others?
They should absolutely avoid using anyone other than our team.
Subtle.
I like that. So I would avoid on new car campaigns, I would avoid the traditional, which most vendors do, putting whatever your brand is, Ford, all Ford new models in one big new car campaign. So that's a no-no if you want high-quality scores. It also means that it's going to take a little more time if you're a do-it-yourselfer. I'm not sure if this question is coming from somebody that's doing it on their own. If so, it will take you a lot more time to set up single keyword ad groups, because now the Toyota Tundra is its own ad group. The Ford Mustang is its own ad group. But that, for a lot of people that aren't doing that, as soon as they start, they're like, whoa, like that totally changed like our average page placement. We used to be at average 3 to 4, and now we're average 1 to 2. Our cost per click actually went down a little bit. Why? Because setting up single keyword ad groups is actually really effective for improving quality score. And as long as you're ad copy is written well and lands on a killer landing page, that's awesome. So I would avoid that. There are others, but that's probably one of the first. I also wouldn't run your paid search ads in the display network. I wouldn't run them in the Google display network. Some people will argue for that, but they're just people that want you to, you know, blindly let you burn through their budget. There are a number of those things. If you want more, hit me up, send me an email, and I'll send you a little list of a few that I would say, yeah, don't. But those are a couple, just a couple. I also wouldn't run your ad schedule 24/7, 365. I wouldn't do that. So
okay.
There's more.
All right. Thank you so much. Great question. Great answer. All right. Thank you, Paul. Next question comes in from Thomas. He says, this is interesting. He says, can I use the AdWords preview tool to find page one organic results? There's no tool for me to test organic rankings in specific areas or zip codes if not on location.
AdWords tool. I don't know if you know anything.
There's no reliable way to do it other than actually going to that location and searching from that location. Keep in mind that every user is going to see slightly different results because Google's going to personalize their results based on the search history of the device that they're searching on. It's also going to localize their results based on their physical location. So if you're in a different city and you're like, let's say you're in Denver and you're wanting to see what results look like for your store that's in Dallas, what you search for in Denver, regardless of what you use, is not going to be a realistic view of what people in that area actually see. You shouldn't really worry about rankings so much because there's not a reliable way to track it when it comes to local SEO. It's good to track general rankings as a health check so you can see if all of a sudden something really drops off.
Right.
But just realize what you see is not really what the public is seeing. That being said, there is a tool from a company called Bright Local. If you do a Bright Local, do a Google search. I don't remember what the name of the tool is, but just do a Google search for Bright Local location search tool, and it will let you kind of sort of spoof a location and see something. But again, that's going to be for your own just kind of general health check. Don't think that that's gospel.
And I'm curious if that question, depending on where that question may be coming from, not the person, but what you totally want to solve for, because there are some things that I used to do a few years back with analytics of actually comparing the organic keywords versus the paid keywords for some things that I did, some specialized campaigns where we were really trying to stay away from certain things, and we wanted to find out how to actually help our SEO team at this time. It wasn't Greg, it was a different place. But we're doing some interesting things, so I'm kind of interested in what problem you're trying to solve in getting that information. So if it's something that you want to have an additional conversation, send me an email.
Okay, great. Thomas, take him up on that. Totally. All right, thank you so much. Next question comes in from Keith. He says, if Google is serving up dealerships based on location, why is it that we compete with third-party vendors who use our name in their titles but are not located in our area? The mysteries of Google.
It would depend on what type of search you're talking about. That's way too general to know. I mean, you're talking about searching for vehicles or searching for dealership names. Like, I'm assuming since they're talking about dealership name that it's you're talking about I'm searching for the name of this dealership and there's some third-party vendor that has a listing for my dealership there, so they're showing up. You're not really competing against that. Nobody's going to go click on some third-party listing for you when your dealership ranks number one for that search. So what if they show up at number 7 or number 8? Nobody's going to scroll that far down and click on it. So I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Sabrina writes in, if you decide to come off the third-party sites, for instance, AutoTrader, Cars, Guru, et cetera. Are there things you can do from the SEO, SEM standpoint to offset your inventory being on their site?
If I wanted to play nice, I would say, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But I can tell you that in the probably almost 10 years that I've been doing SEO for car dealers, I have maybe only one time seen anybody even notice that they dropped AutoTrader, CarGurus, any third-party lead providers. Because if you're doing good SEO, you're going to get found and people are going to find you anyway. Now, does AutoTrader help you sell more cars? Sure. If you've got some specific stuff, like I said earlier, that's, you know, something that's not readily available, that's very specific, you're going to sell those cars there. But if you're just talking, I got a bunch of F-150s and I want to sell F-150s, you probably don't have to worry about coming off of those. You could probably take that money and spend it in SEM or SEO, and you'll be fine, and you don't have to worry about it.
And what's really important, though, with that is there's a lot of terrible used car paid search going on in the world. And so if you went with that strategy, and like Greg, I've seen a lot of dealers that have done the test. We're big fans of just test everything. So all of those third-party vendors will take you back every time you want to go back. You
yeah.
can shop as much as you want, and they'll just say, come on back, it's cool. So, but if you're going to do that, you definitely want to make sure that you're working with somebody that knows what they're doing with setting up used car campaigns, because if you're just going to straight run dynamic used car listings and no other types of used car campaigns, mm-hmm. That may not you may not, with that strategy, outperform what you could do by keeping a mix of those providers.
Now he's got a good point. If you're wanting to come off of those, you don't want to come off of those and not have somebody badass doing your SEO and your SEM. You can't go, hey, I'm just going to come off these because I don't really feel like I'm getting anything out of it, and I'm doing okay with my website.
And then I have a plan B.
If you're going to do that, you can do it and you'll be okay, but you've got to make sure you're really kicking ass on the other side of search. Otherwise, you will notice that they're gone, and you got to make sure that you've got all your ducks in a row, because you don't want to take away a source of leads and hope that everything else is going to catch back up. You want to know that you've got somebody good there and that you're going to be okay.
And now, one other point on this question that's really important is, before you would ever make a move like that, go and look in analytics to find out how much referral traffic is being sent by any of those sources. So if it's Cars or Car Gurus or AutoTrader, make sure that you look at that number, because there are some dealers that actually drive a pretty significant percentage of referral traffic. That means somebody saw your listing at Cars.com or wherever, and then they went to see the dealership. That link is your referral traffic link, and referral traffic is probably the most difficult segment to actually increase, but it actually has a very high conversion rate almost all of the time. So there are some little intricacies within making a move like that, but whoever is advising or you're talking to, make sure they know these things. You don't want to make a catastrophic move.
Especially if you're in a more rural area where there's not a ton of competition and a ton of options. That's a lot of times where you'll see more traffic coming to your site from these third-party sites, mm-hmm. and that's where you'd want to be more cautious. But, you know, if you're in a big city and you're getting, 10,000 visits a month to your website, and you get 20 a month from all your third-party lead providers combined in referral traffic, you're probably going to be okay, get rid of them. But if you're in a small town and you're getting 5,000 visits a month to your website, and 1,000 of that's coming from third-party lead providers, that's when you'd want to be very cautious about what you're doing.
Okay, so Sabrina did write back in. She said, Sean, that's exactly what I thought. Terrible used car search. And then, Sabrina, just so you know, we had one of our attendees write in just to you. His name is Scott. He says, we dropped AutoTrader and Cars.com and saw no difference after 3 months. Now we're working on our own to build our used vehicle campaigns. And I believe they're using our money to boost their own website and to pay for their own TV ads. They don't really help. At least they didn't for us as a smaller dealer. Don't know if that helps you out at all, but thank you so much, gentlemen, for your input on that. We do have a follow-up question from Sabrina, actually. She says, what results should I be looking at when considering how well our SEO provider is doing?
So more than anything else, it really depends on where you were when you started. So about half of our SEO customers are people that come to us because they do not have good visibility. So if you don't have good visibility, you're not showing up on page one for anything. You know that if you start doing SEO and eventually you start showing up on page one, that means more visibility for your site, more people to your site, more leads. So for that situation, if you were not showing up well, the gauge of success is your organic traffic going up? Is your organic lead volume going up? And is your overall lead quality going up? Those are the three metrics that matter. But we also have a lot of dealers that come to us that already rank really well and have ridiculously awesome visibility. Maybe they're the number one result for just about every phrase you could search for in their area, but they just naturally did all the right things. They never really did like true SEO. It was just they just got lucky in all the things that they would need to do for SEO they just happened to do. But now they've got competitors that are doing SEO, and those competitors are chipping away and getting closer and closer, and eventually they know they're going to knock them out. Those people are hiring us or hiring someone else. But if you're that type of person where you're already really, really visible and you're working with an SEO provider, you're now playing king of the hill. You want to stay number one. You want to keep what you've got. So you shouldn't expect to see a big increase in your organic traffic or your lead volume because you're already at the top. So depending on where you're coming from, if you're not visible, you want to see more traffic and more leads. If you are visible, you want to see sustained traffic and leads. So you're not expecting big increases, but the metrics you're really looking at across the board are your organic traffic and your organic lead volume.
Okay, thank you.
Can I put a bow on this?
What?
I want to put a bow on this because I think it's interesting. All of what Greg is saying is super, super important. And Sabrina, I will also tell you, make sure that whoever your website provider is, hopefully DealerOn, but even if it isn't, just make sure that the conversion rate, the overall conversion rate, how your website converts, like it's where you want it to be. Because the highest conversion rate you can possibly juice out of your website is so important because you could actually do all of this investment into SEO and more organic traffic, which the whole point of that is to get them to your website so that they can be converted. So you don't want to do that into an environment that converts 1.2% of the traffic, right? That's like a complete waste. So all of these things work together. It's super important to make sure that your website is held accountable to the highest conversion rate you can possibly squeeze out of it.
Well, and a lot of times, too, with those guys that come to us that are already number one or already really, really visible, sometimes it's they're really visible, but their website's not so great, and we can make some changes on their website and do some conversion optimization, and we can squeeze not necessarily more traffic, but we can squeeze more leads out of what they've already got coming in. So that's something to look at, too.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Same question, basically, came in for you, Sean. Mark wrote in, what are the main metrics that I should be looking at to judge an SEM vendor? How do you know vendor A is better than vendor B?
Well, I'll tell you what's not important. Impressions, cost per click, click-through rate, if that's all you're buying on, then probably bad. Number of clicks, like all that. That's been the common stuff. To me, and I think that I'm speaking for the whole SEM team at DealerOn, we're much more interested in the metrics like your cost per conversion, total number of conversions. That could be also phone calls as conversions as well as form submissions as conversions. Cost per lead. If we can get a dealer into the $20 range, that's like Grand Slam City. We try, it just depends on make, model, and where you're located to actually keep people somewhere in the $30 range. So, you know, it's kind of all over the board. But that's a really important metric. Impression share can be an important metric as long as it's not in the hands of the OEMs that really don't understand the metric and how they're trying to hold dealers accountable for things that are maybe not that realistic. Yeah, but those are probably the things that I would say are most important. What's the cost per conversion? What's the cost per lead you're generating? Total number of conversions? Because if you just fixate on the upstream stuff like your click-through rate, anybody that's been, 30 days in AdWords could put together a campaign that all they want to do is impress you with a click-through rate, right? Great, they clicked onto your website and did nothing. We don't care about that, right? We care about they clicked through, so we registered them as a visit to the site. Fantastic, so now they're a paid search visitor, but now what, right? Did they call you? And most importantly, actually, today, because we're seeing, I was just looking at some campaigns this morning, a Ford store, Dodge store, Toyota store, all of them, 80% of their paid search clicks are actually coming from mobile devices. And so that number is moving really quickly. Just a year, 18 months ago, it was around 53% on average. So anyway, those are important metrics, especially track them and be mindful of what's happening with those metrics as it relates to mobile.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Mark, I hope that helped you out. Okay. Next question comes in from Christopher. Christopher wants to know, Greg, how can you measure improvements or incremental results from your SEO team? So you already talked to us a little bit about, hey, how can you tell if somebody's a good SEO provider? But how can you tell incrementally if they're actually, if you're actually getting better, if you're stagnant?
Well, I mean, you should be watching your Google Analytics, and you'll see if, again, if your traffic is going up and your leads are going up, that's a pretty easy thing to see in Google Analytics.
It's as easy as that?
You check yourself in Google Analytics and see, or, you know, you should be getting a monthly report from your SEO team, and you talk to them in that monthly report, and the numbers they give you should match up to what you're seeing in Google Analytics. If they're not, then that's a whole different ball of wax. But, yeah, I mean, you'll see these. It's not like you can go and look and see if the things that your SEO team is doing this week will have an effect next week. It's a much longer time scale than that. But, yeah, I mean, just look at your analytics and see.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Next question is from Dara. She says, what targeting methods have you had success with Gmail ads?
She's
talking about targeting Gmail users.
Oh.
And you know what? Hi, Dara. I'm in the race car chair. Hi, Dara.
I
probably ask the team and find out if they have any real success stories, because off the top of my head, I don't have any. Like, this has been the most successful targeting strategy for Gmail. I love the capability there, but I haven't heard, even outside of DealerOn, I haven't heard anybody that's like, yeah, we're like crushing it with this particular target in Gmail. So not sure yet, but I can, if you want me to, I'll ask Orko and the guys and see if they have any success stories. I don't know off the top of my head, though. Sorry.
All right. Dara, if I were you, I'd just email Sean and see what he comes up with, all right? Follow-up question from Sabrina again. She says, thoughts on inventory videos. Do you think a video of pre-owned vehicles should be on the VDPs? What about new vehicle videos?
Maybe.
Why say maybe?
Well, it depends on how you're actually putting them on your site. So even though I was on vacation last week, working anyway, one of the conversations that I had with a dealer last week had to do with, you know, drilling in on this whole page speed issue, right? So instead of using page speed insights, which is weaponized within our industry now, and it's actually, you can trick it, I went to this guy's site and did a, you know, test at webpagetest.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can completely self-educate on how to do that. So I go there, and then I find it's like catastrophic, like homepage taking 65 seconds to load, and I'm like, what the F? And then I go in and I actually do some tests on some VDPs, right? And even on the VDPs, I found VDPs that were taking over 90 seconds to load, and I'm like, what the F bomb is going on here? So as I look at the what they call the waterfall report, which basically is a report that by milliseconds is telling you exactly which parts of your site is loading up, and there are several, could be 50 or 60 different components that take time to load on your site. For us, when we jump onto a site, the mobile experience, even the desktop experience, we might see what looks like the site is fully loaded, but there's all kinds of stuff still going on to make sure that page is fully loaded. And the reason why I say maybe is that if you're using a third-party vendor to get these videos up, which is probably your only choice, you need to be very, very, very detail oriented around finding out if their particular service is crippling your site speed, because that's exactly what I found. And it wasn't just one vendor, and no, I'm not going to name their names because Dealeron tries to be nice like that. At least I'm not going to name them on the webinar. But there are a couple of them that I told this dealer, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you other than that needs to come off your site. You need to, or that company needs to find out how they can actually make their product load your videos faster. So the reason why I say maybe is because you're not going to get the result you want with people if your site takes 95 seconds to load that page, because all the pictures, all the video stuff that's being used to stitch the videos together, depending on how they're implemented, or just the video files themselves, if they're not implemented the right way, you're absolutely not going to have somebody stay on your site so they can see that whole video experience if it takes a minute to load it. So you got to be careful.
Okay, but if you can get the videos to load quickly, you are saying absolutely put those videos up.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yep. Sabrina, we hope that helps you out. Okay, next question. This is interesting. I think we kind of covered this already, Paul, but I will try it again. He says, what is something that you should avoid in the SEO and SEM world, and what is something that you had bad experience with in the past, something that's a big no that dealers should not do?
You should avoid using anyone other than us for SEO or SEM. And the bad experience I had was with a dealership that used someone other than us for SEO or SEM. No, things you should avoid, I mean, you should avoid doing anything, at least on the SEO side, that risks getting you a penalty. Something that we see a whole lot is issues with fake reviews. A lot of dealerships, Google's even come out and said that out of every possible industry out there, car dealers are the worst with putting fake reviews out there. So that's actually
Did they seriously say that? Oh, my God.
You get fined millions of dollars. It's against federal law. So faking reviews, very bad. Sometimes dealers don't even know that it's going on. They're spiffing their sales team. So, hey, Sean, if you get a review that shows up on Google and it has your name in it, I'll give you an extra $50 on your paycheck.
Cool, Greg, thanks.
What's the first thing Sean's going to do? He's going to start putting up fake reviews because it's a free $50 for every time he does it.
And yeah.
Me as the owner or GM doesn't realize that's going on, but my spiff is what's making it happen. And then, boom, guess what? When the dealership gets caught for doing it by a federal sting, me, the dealership, has to pay those millions of dollars of fines, not Sean. So you got to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful, again, with cheap SEO. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, man, SEO is so expensive. I can't spend a couple thousand dollars a month. Yet they'll turn around and drop $20,000 on pay-per-click at the blink of an eye. And yeah, SEO is expensive because it's butts and seats, but the worst thing you can do is go with somebody that's selling you SEO for $500 a month or $800 a month, because all they're doing is taking your money. There's absolutely no way they can do anything for that amount of money, because again, there's no way you can automate SEO. So now you're saying, I'm going to take this person and I'm going to pay them this much money. Well, you know they're making a profit, so now you're paying for a couple of hours of work a month on your site. That's not going to do anything for you. So you're just throwing your money away. Also, I would avoid using anyone that is just so massive they don't know who you are. For someone to be effective doing SEO, they actually have to understand your business and what makes you different in your local area. So there's just, you know, like I said earlier, it's kind of that gut feeling. If it feels bad, then don't do it.
Excellent answers, Greg.
On the SEM side, I would say, and I probably sound like a broken record with this over the last several years, but I would, if it were me, I would avoid any SEM vendor that heavily automates the delivery in terms of setting up campaigns and then ongoing delivery of campaigns, only because I have quite a bit of experience with some of the pioneers in that space. And there are a lot of things, especially this year, just AdWords keeps throwing out new things, wrinkles, message extensions, promotion extensions, the new landing page tool within the AdWords platform. There's so many things that if you are on one of those fully automated platforms, there's a lot of technology there, they can't accommodate and they can't catch up fast enough. And they also are usually ones that are most criminally spending your budget in ways that It's just not wise. You can actually get so much more bang for your buck if you're utilizing somebody that at least has a blend of automation with human touch. Really important.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Those were excellent answers. I appreciate it. All right, Paul, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed those answers. Now, just so you know, Greg, Sean, and, of course, all of the wonderful attendees that we have, we are very over time. And, unfortunately, we still have, like, 20 questions left in the queue, 20 really good questions. We still have to give away a prize. So I'm turning to you guys. What do you want to do? Should we keep going? Should we give away the prize and keep going? What do you?
I've got to go. I am way tight on time because of the whole office move. So I would love to keep going, but we don't have time.
Can we do like two more questions?
Let's do three more questions.
Three more questions?
Each?
No, total.
Okay, three questions.
We've got to do four. It's got to be two. It's got to be even number, two and two.
Okay, we'll do two and two, but we got to be quick.
Okay. All right. Let's do this one from Christopher. He says, do you have any recommended books or courses for beginner SEO and SEM?
Go check out Distilled U. So distilled.net/U. It's $50 for a month, and that can teach you a lot about SEO. Also, Moz has some pretty good stuff on their blog.
Go to Google and search for AdWords University. You will find that Google has actually added a ton of great content where you can kind of start at the very beginning, including they will walk you through I mean, their YouTube videos, but they've made videos for you to actually get fundamentals, which is a certification you can get yourself. Dealers, I highly recommend it. AdWords certification, they have a mobile certification, a video certification, a display certification. It'll give you all that stuff. It's not the deep level of experience, but it is definitely the foundation in those areas that will help you. I would start there.
All right, great. Thank you, Christopher. Great question. Next question, let's do this one from Dan. He says, I'm not sure if there's time for this one. Oh, we're going to make time. But we keep hearing about AR and VR and other things that sound just like buzzwords. Are these important for dealers in 2017 or way down the road? Do we need to care about any of these yet?
Nope, next question. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter.
All right. Oh, I like these quick answers.
I can talk about why it doesn't matter, but we're in lightning round. It just doesn't matter. Like, don't even worry about it.
All right, cool. Let's get to this one from Paul. He says, we just started using Facebook Pixel and noticed that there's only 10 maximum per account, but we have 17 stores. Is there any way to determine which dealers should use the 10 pixels, or is there any way we can request more than one, more under one account?
10 per account would be, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking they're trying to do it from one advertising account. If you set up Facebook Business Manager so that it's all a different, you've got one Facebook Business Manager lets you like have an agency set up where you can connect to a bunch of different individual advertising accounts. So then you would only really need one pixel per advertising account because you have a separate advertising account for each dealership that you can access through the manager.
That's what should solve the problem is if you're not using Facebook Business Manager, you should, because then each of your locations can be separate, individual, under your Business Manager account, and then you can have a pixel for all of them. And if that doesn't work, then give us a holler, and we'll see if we can't reach out to Gabrielle or some of our buddies over at Facebook and see if we can't help you out.
Oh, you take them up on that, Paul. All right. Next question. Let's get this one from Jeff. If time allows, what is the Beard and Hair's go-to source to stay updated on SEO?
I don't really have a go-to source because I'm always at conferences. So I just whatever conference I'm at, I'm hearing what's going on. Other than that, I just follow the right people on Twitter. And anytime something happens, because I'm connected with all these people, we're always all talking about it immediately. So go to a bunch of conferences. Follow me on Twitter because I'll talk about stuff.
My favorites for all things, SEM, SEO, for SEM is PPC Hero. So if you go to ppchero.com, that's Hannepin. They're a non-auto, but they're a very, very huge agency. They have the Hero Conference every year. But ppchero.com for SEM blog, great stuff there. Of course, I love Search Engine Land, not just because he's a monthly writer there, but Search Engine Land is great because it segments all the different things. So if you just want to gobble up a bunch of SEO information or SEM, you can segment it out. And then searchenginewatch.com is also another really good source. Those are probably my three favorites, but there are a bunch. Those are the ones I probably spend the most time on. Though.
Search Engine Journal is good, too.
Oh, okay. All right. What's a strong conversion rate?
It's the best because I write there.
What is a strong conversion rate?
For what?
Your website.
I would say anything over 3% is strong.
Okay. All right. And last question comes in from Paul. He says, how important are usernames of Instagram and Facebook to SEO? Would it affect it badly if the name is slightly different for an Instagram name?
Not important. Doesn't matter.
I love this lightning round. All right.
Amazing. It's so cool.
Okay.
And if
last
you're asking
one...
about Instagram and you're a car dealer, unless you're something like Audi that has a very, very rabid fan base that's really into that brand, I'd be really careful about how much time you spend on Instagram because it's probably just wasting your time that you could be better spending on something else that's going to give you more ROI.
Okay, okay. Last question for Sean. Ben writes in, I got an SEM audit question for Sean. If we currently have a vendor that does not give access to AdWords or give good reporting, can we still provide a good audit for their ad effectiveness?
Why would you care? If you're not getting reporting and you're not getting access, why are you still with that vendor?
That was for me.
why would you care? Why would you? Rawr? No. Like bail. Like,
I don't understand. Like seven people just wrote and they're like, fire that vendor. Amen.
You can't. The only thing they might be able to try to appease you with is Google Analytics data, but that's unfortunately just the kiddie pool. It's very shallow. You can only get a little bit of information with that view. So there must be a reason for that. I'm not a fan of any company that holds a dealer's data, which this is your data, what happens from the investments of the campaigns you're paying for. That's essentially yours. I don't like it when somebody holds that hostage, and this is what's kind of happening here. So I think that you probably need to spend some time thinking about how to end the hostage crisis because it belongs to you, and there's nothing you can do to improve or help them if they don't share all of what is going on. So, yeah, that's a bummer,
right,
man.
Ben, thank you so much.
I'll pray for you for sure.
Ben says, thank you for squeezing in my question. I'm trying to convince the team here to drop the vendor, and I need input, so thank you so much. All right. If you guys don't want to do any more questions, I have a couple more really good ones, but if you don't want to, and we'll do the giveaway.
Do fast ones. Quick.
Do the fast ones? Okay. Sabrina, is it a good idea to have a group site when your dealer group has multiple brands, and does it have a negative impact at all?
It's a good idea for offline marketing, but don't worry about trying to do your SEO there. Do your SEO on your individual rooftops because that's what Google prefers. Boom.
Love it. Okay, Darian says, do we have to have the same website provider for our dealership? We're a dual franchise under one building. Will having the same provider for all websites better our SEO and SEM?
Depends on your website provider because there are several website providers that are on the same level as us as far as what you can do SEO-wise. There are several websites. I can't say who because I already got in trouble for complaining about it on Facebook. But it's a website provider that's very large and just released a brand new advanced platform that's actually 15 years time travel backwards. And if you're on that platform for one site and a good platform like us on the other, then, yeah, it's going to affect your SEO because that one website platform, you just can't do any optimization on, and that's really bad for your SEO. If they're both really good platforms, then it's not really going to matter. It's just the ease of use, like we said earlier, you know, with the question about bringing on the five new stores. Do you want to deal with multiple vendors? Or if there's no limitation due to what your OEM says you have to be on, a lot of times it just makes sense to be on the same website provider so that if you're under one rooftop, whoever needs to work on the site, it's the same platform.
Right.
For SEO, it doesn't matter.
And on the SEM side, as long as that website vendor has the ability to track a sale on paid search campaigns, especially for you, I would say that would be important. Now, there are a lot of dealers that just don't want to go to the time that it requires to set that up. But it is really, really valuable. And I don't know if the current climate or the future climate of our industry is going to be any indication. I think that dealers are going to want that level of accountability and trackability to find out what's happening beyond just clicks and conversions and impressions, it would be really nice to know if, in fact, you're actually selling more vehicles from those paid search campaigns. And we offer that, and I think there may be a couple others that do that, but that I would want to know that if I were you, is can the website company actually do that level of post-sale tracking with your paid search campaigns?
Okay, well, I just want you guys to know I had a deluge of people banging on their current website providers. So yeah, it was very funny. Thank you for making me laugh. Okay, let's go and do the giveaway. So audience, if you were here earlier in the webinar, then you heard that I announced our good friends over at AutoHook are sponsoring this week's giveaway. And now, just so you know, AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver. They've built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks that customer through the lead showroom visit and purchase and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card from our good friends over at AutoHook. So everyone get ready. Get to your keyboards. First person to write in the correct response is going to be winning this awesome prize today. Good luck, everyone. By the way, I should say, I'm sorry, vendors, you're not allowed to win this, but dealers, you're all over this, I know. So I hope you guys have fast fingers, and yes, you can guess, because I didn't know the answer to this question either. This question comes directly in from our good friend, Greg Gifford. The giveaway question is, how many different movies does Greg Gifford have tattooed on his arm?
Five. 13. 48. 10. 12.
Oh, my God, you guys are so... Somebody wrote 256. Somebody wrote 284.
He's on my arm. Come on, guys. Let's be realistic here.
Okay, just so you know that we do have the correct answer here. Actually, a few people wrote it in. So let me see who the first person who wrote it in was. Ken Worth. Oh, looks like he gets a prize from both of you guys. Ken Worth wrote in the correct response, and the answer is... Seven movies. And Greg, if you could just cover all those movies for us right now so I'm not a liar, that'd be great.
Dr. No, Christmas Story, They Live, Die Hard, Young Frankenstein, Ghostbusters, and Star Wars.
Bravo. Congratulations, Ken Worth. I'm trying to find my damn pencil around here. I can't find it. I don't know what the hell happened to it. Darn it. Okay, I'll use this. So, Ken, I don't know what dealership you're from. I know everyone else probably knows, but I don't. So, Ken, if you wouldn't mind, well, who's he with?
Hendrick.
Oh, he's with Hendrick. That's right. Ken Worth, thank you so much for playing along, everyone. Sorry there could only be one winner today. But you know what? We give away cool prizes every week. So come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and that might be the day that you win a cool prize on a Dealer On webinar. For right now, we got to congratulate our good friend Ken Worth from Hendrick Automotive for winning this awesome prize. And, of course, thank you so much to our good friends over at AutoHook. Remember to visit driveautohook.com for more information about all the good things that they do over there. And we hope to see you all on another webinar competing for another cool prize. So, Greg, Sean, thank you so much. You guys are just awesome. I think we should do these Ask Greg and Sean questions anything. What's it called?
Bahama
is all I know. Beard and hair, ask me anything. I think we should do them a little bit more often than once every 6 months. So, fantastic presentation. I want to remind the audience a link to download a copy of today's webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And it's also going to be posted online within 24 hours. So just go to dealeron.com/webinars to view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars too. At the conclusion of this webinar, in just a moment, you're going to get a short survey. Fill it out. It is three short questions, and as we talked about it earlier, you can submit your name for a free SEO or SEM audit or both through that questionnaire. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience. We want to know what you thought of today's presentation, so please tell us what you think. Also, DealerOn is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention. We have a great booth, booth 305, and while you're getting your Digital Dealer On, please check out the speaking sessions from The Beard and the Hair, Greg Gifford and Sean Raines. I'm also going to be there. I'm going to be hosting Tech Tank this year, so please make sure you come out and say hi. We'd love to see you there. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar, 6 cutting-edge video strategies that drive sales and service. So if you're not using video to improve conversion, traffic, customer loyalty, branding, sales, or service, Boy, oh boy, you are missing an enormous opportunity. Are you a video pro or a video novice? It doesn't matter, not to fear. The experts are here, and they're ready to help. In this one-hour webinar, Anthony Carroll, Senior Account Executive with Google's Automotive Retail Team, and Mr. Video himself, Phil Sura, with the Automotive Division of UnityWorks Media, will focus on 6 cutting-edge video strategies and best practices that dealers can use to drive sales and service. Tony Carroll will share a powerful overview of the latest Google research stats on what influences automotive buyers, the power of video, and how dealers can leverage video to influence auto and service shoppers. Phil Sura is going to discuss best practices on leveraging video campaigns with Google and Facebook and on your website. He'll also share an incredible case study of how one salesman increased his sales by nearly 70% each month simply by adding video to his process. Simply put, video is an essential component to any strong, comprehensive process. Are you ready to become a video champ? Don't miss this tremendous opportunity to hear 6 cutting-edge video strategies that drive sales and service. Register now, and don't forget DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, feel free to contact me directly. Again, my name is Eliana Raggio. I'd love to hear from you, so track me down online. I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, all the automotive social networks. Or you know what? You can just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing education series. Take care, everyone. It says it's stopping the recording, but it's not stopping the recording. All right, guys, thank you so much. You were brilliant, as always. I love you both. Mwah, 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 mwah. I will see you in 2 weeks at Digital Dealer.
Cool.
Love you guys. Take care.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
You got it, baby. Bye.
Bye.